Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him coming up at high noon. We say hello to a good friend of the show, Richard Justice, MLB.com. Richard, how you doing? How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic.
Great.
Has there been anything to talk about in the baseball world? Yeah, I know it's the off season. Anything going on?
A couple of stones in the pond causing ripples, but other than that, quiet.
Ripples or waves, depending on who you talk to.
Right.
You're a guy that certainly understands the Houston landscape for sure. When did you first get wind of something like this, and what's been your reaction to, like you said, ripple or whatever you want to do to describe where it's at today? You know, now that the smoke has not cleared, it's not over, but what do you make of all this?
It's gut-wrenching, because when you consider the background that in 17, Houston had been devastated by a hurricane, and the team rallied around the city rallied around the team played with such joy and energy. The question I would get the most is, are they really like that? Do they really love it that much? And Houston was always the city that watched other cities celebrate, watched other cities have their parades. And I'm telling you, like, when they would take the trophy around, people would look at it like, keep an eye on that thing, because they're going to take that away from us and take it to Boston or St. Louis or someplace else. That's what it meant. I mean, people love this team beyond what words can express. And now to have it, it's just a gut punch to be told that whether it was – that they cheated. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it, that they didn't play by the rules. And it's about as bad as it can get. I have fans asking, you know, is there a scrap of hope? Maybe they did this, maybe they didn't. Maybe it's not as bad as it seems. Maybe everybody else was doing it, but it's bad.
Yeah, and you understand this because you've been covering the game a long time. And when we all went through the steroid era, it's just like, right, it's not just one, right? You know, it's not isolated. You know, it's not one group. It's not one guy, as we would later find out. And it's not one position or one type of player. I mean, we never, the beginning, never thought pitchers, well, they're not doing it. Well, we found out, you know, they're doing steroids too. So, you know, the question is, you know, we talk a lot of baseball on the show, and we have a lot of major leaguers, current and former, that live here in Nashville. So we talk to them all the time on this show. And isn't it amazing, Richard, how much we wanted to blame the ball last year for all the home runs? And maybe it was the ball, but
maybe we're
finding something else out, right?
No. I mean, look, steroids went throughout the game. We don't know the extent of the cheating yet. We do know the Astros were more blatant about it than everybody else, and that the commissioner had sent out a directive in 2017 saying, I'm going to hold the people. This was after the Red Sox were found with a Fitbit in the dugout, relaying signs, said, I'm going to hold people accountable for this. And the Astros just thought, we're smarter than you are. We can get away with it. I wouldn't go so far. I mean, I'd heard other teams complaining about the Astros for a long time, but until you get one player with the guts to put his name on it, in this case, that was Mike Fiers. You know, it doesn't go very far. I'm not sure that every team does it. Every team is looking for an advantage, but this, to me, is about the Houston Astros.
Okay. Fair enough. That's why we're having you on. So you're telling me I'm the horse. Whoa, slow down. Slow down.
The justification is everybody was doing it. We don't know that everybody was doing it. The commissioner's attorney, and what he dealt with was the facts in front of him. And the facts in front of him were damning for the Houston Astros. If there's other things out there, I'm sure it will come out eventually. It always does. But steroids were the whole sport. And the whole sport just dropped the ball on maintaining vigilance about PEDs. And they just decided to crack down on it, you know.
Where do you stand on the Altuve video that we've all seen running to home plate? Do you take anything from that at all?
Well, here's what I say to that is, it doesn't matter. You have like last Saturday at their fan fest, Alex Bregman sort of had a smirk on his face talking to the media. Now, and refused to apologize. Now, the owner said yesterday, Jim Crane said, believe me, when we get to spring training, we're going to have a meeting, and they're all going to apologize for the damage they did to their sport, the city, the franchise. They're going to apologize. But Alex had a smirk on his face, and I think somebody's got to tell the guy, like, you smirk when you got away with it. You didn't get away with it. You ended at least four careers in baseball. You embarrassed a city. You devastated a fan base that had been so loyal to you and all of that. So, and he said the buzzer was charges of using the buzzer was ridiculous. Doesn't matter. You've opened this door now, and anything you want to suspect people of, you can't say, oh, fake outrage. No, I don't know whether they were using a buzzer or not. I have heard they were, and I've heard the players say they weren't. But you've said, look, the rules don't apply to us, but those rules do apply. Nobody's going to believe you when you deny it now.
We're talking to Richard Justice from MLB.com. Great perspective on what is happening in baseball right now. So, Richard, I've been fascinated by this. I went back because I read Bill Plaschke's article in the LA Times making the argument that they should forfeit or vacate the World Series. I wanted to watch the games that he referenced, the Yu Darvish starts. There's been a lot of talk about those two particular starts. And honestly, I do look at the pitches and I say, were those great pitches? He threw a lot of balls that didn't have great break. John Smoltz would comment on that. These are not good pitches. They were in the middle of the plate. So I do wonder specifically how many times they had the call, how many times they didn't, what days did they have more than others, what days were they able to decode, home, road, all of those things. Do you think we'll find out more detail over time, or is this where we're going to leave it?
I think a lot of the points he made were ridiculous. Alex Wood, who pitched a great game four in the 2017 World Series, said what they noticed in the two games at Dodger Stadium where the Astros were changing signs so frequently that it told them, we think you're cheating. And that told the Dodgers, well, they must be cheating. So Alex Wood went into game four and just said, we're changing the signs. I think he said they changed the signs every 12 pitches because they were aware of this.
Yeah.
The A's come in. The A's have made a history of changing signs. When the Washington Nationals in the World Series games, they had such a complicated system that two things. You notice Fox did not show the catcher dropping the signs, but the other thing was you would see pitchers look in their hats at times for the coding. So yeah, you got to be aware of this stuff. I mean, Justin Verlander pitched a game at Yankee Stadium this year, and there were no signs. There were no signs that I could tell. So I don't know how they were communicating, but that's part of it. If you wasn't prepared for this, I would say he dropped the ball on that because you can stop this stuff. You can change the pattern pretty quickly, and I think that's what we saw the Nationals do in the World Series last fall.
Yeah, and it does seem like everybody now. You gave a great example of the pitcher taking his hat off and looking inside for what the changed code is going to be. So it seems like I feel fairly confident, Richard, that going forward here with all of this, the awareness, number one, the harsh penalty, plus everybody now is trying to evolve and make it harder to decode, that we can be confident that what we're going to see going forward, it's going to be harder and harder to do this. True?
Well, and you can cheat. If you think you're smart enough to get away with it, this has been the problem with the steroids. When steroid testing first went in, I asked Rob Manfred, was in the council who did the labor agreement, and I said, who's going to test positive for steroids now? And he said, well, you're always going to have idiots who think I've got a cleansing agent, a masking agent, or somebody's going to convince them I have a substance that's not detectable, I can get around. So you're always going to have that. Here's the risk in doing this in the science dealing part of it is all you do is risk your reputation and your career, the career for the baseball people. And so I love Jose Altuve, and I love Alex Bregman, and I love watching them play. But everything they do is going to be called into question. You can throw the whole front office out and get a whole new front office, but you can't take the cloud away from the clubhouse because the players are going to be the same. So what if the Astros are two games under 500 in July and George Springer is hitting 220? The narrative is going to be, and fairly so, huh, you guys couldn't do it playing by the rules. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on that team to show that, hey, we can do it playing by the rules. All you can do is do what the New England Patriots do. Just keep winning and show that it wasn't about cheating, that we were really good.
Richard Justice is with us. And Richard, the discussion has come up. You've had some pitchers go on the record and saying, you know, I'd rather have a guy up there who was full-blown steroids than a guy that knew what I was going to throw. They put it in two different categories. And so with that in mind, you know, you had the voting yesterday. We all watched Derek Jeter get in and Larry Walker. But the other sub-discussion is, okay, where are Clemens and Bonds now? And they seem to be kind of holding steady. They're on the ballot, I guess, for two more years. So how has that thinking evolved based on what we're seeing here?
They've stalled. Here's my thinking on that. If you pick up a ballot and look at it, you're not going to know who used and who didn't. So you're just going to – so your approach will be, I'm going to guess, or I'm going to vote for the best players on the ballot. And you can rationalize it 100 different ways. The way I rationalize it is, I don't know who did and who didn't. And Clemens' career in Boston qualified him for the Hall of Fame. Before Barry added all the muscle, he'd had 494 home runs. He was going to the Hall of Fame. Now, whether that's a good rationalization or not, but, you know, I'm pretty sure we've already voted for a steroid user. It gets too complicated, so just vote for the best players on it. And I think that's what we've seen as the voting. They've started to kick out people who are not connected to the game anymore, and just go vote for the best players. Don't overthink it, because anybody who says Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens weren't Hall of Famers in terms of their ability and their accomplishments, I would argue with that. And again, I'm sure there are steroid users in the Hall of Fame, and people say, well, you should consider the character clause. Now, if we're going to go through there and start kicking out people on morality and all of that, that gets way too complicated. In fact, it's so complicated that you think at times, I don't even want to be a part of this anymore. But I do. I appreciate the Hall of Fame, and just seeing the look on Larry Walker's face yesterday and getting in made me realize, hey, do what you can in terms of making right decisions.
Richard, do we know the one person that didn't vote for Derek Jeter? Because I think that's
no,
the biggest.
But here's my, I'll defend the guy. And like, okay, I think you vote for him because you love Mariano Rivera, and those guys are going to be going to old timers games at Yankee Stadium for the next 30 years. And it's always something Rivera can hold over Jeter. Like, how many unanimous? You and I, Jeets, we were the only unanimous. Oh, that's right. One guy didn't vote for you. So, hey, look, if you can go through, you know, I talked to a guy one time that didn't vote for Seaver. I said, I'm not one to tell you how to vote, but I don't know where you're putting your bar, but it may be a little too high. I mean, if Tom Seaver, I saw somebody wrote this on Jay Jaffe does a great job for Fangraphs analyzing Hall of Fame voting. He said, I've looked at Jeter's numbers in and out, up and down, and there's not one reason not to vote for him. There's not one reason. You know, like Larry Walker, that's a legit debate. He's a borderline Hall of Famer who did play 30% of his games at Coors Field. So analytics really helped him in being able to sort through the numbers and come up with, is this guy one of the greatest right fielders in the history of the game? And you know, he picked up, I think 4 years ago, he was at 10%. So he clears the bar by 6 votes in his final year on the ballot.
Do you think Curt Schilling finally gets in next year?
Yep. And I was just, to me, Schilling and Mussina were always in the same category. Now, you say their ERA didn't hold up to Gibson and Koufax, et cetera. Well, look at the era they pitched in. The ballparks were smaller, steroids made the players bigger, the bats got harder, the baseballs got harder, all that stuff. He was dominant. You look at those between 92 and 2004, he was fifth in FIP, this thing that sort of tries to factor in a more sophisticated ERA, and he was sixth in innings and OPS and batting average and ERA, and the only guys in front of him for the most part are Pedro, Smoltz, Tommy Glavine, and Pedro Martinez, Hall of Famers. And Clemens is in that too, but yeah, he gets in and he deserves to be in. And then when you factor in his postseason, he's clearly a Hall of Famer. Probably if he can keep his mouth shut for the next year, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
Well,
I mean, that's not easy.
Maybe not
90%. You know, I've known the guy since he was since he first came up. You know, he's sort of evolved into somebody I didn't know, but I remember one time. The Orioles, when I was covering the Orioles, they sent him back to the minor leagues, and Frank Robinson, I say to Frank Robinson, who was then the manager, I said, you know what, maybe something will click this time, and he'll finally get it. And Frank looked at me and goes, that kid ain't never going to get it. But he did get it, and it was a very tough conversation with Clemens in the weight room at the Astrodome during an offseason. Basically, Clemens says, and Kurt will tell you this, Clemens said to him, you know what? You're wasting your career. You're throwing. You've got all this talent, and you're throwing it away. And Kurt became a Hall of Famer after that.
Interesting. Willie knows. I've been saying this for well over a decade. I'd like to see Omar Vizquel in the Hall. I really would like to see.
That is a really interesting one. I think he's going to get in. He, you know, I've had a long talk. I've had long talks with him about that. And I said, how does it feel like you played 22 years? You were the gold standard for defensive shortstops, as Mazeroski was the gold standard for second baseman. How does it make you feel? And he goes, really, it doesn't tick me off. I'm interested in the conversation and looking at it. He's one of those guys that if he goes into the Hall of Fame, I think he's got a great shot. If he goes into the Hall of Fame, and we saw, you know, Vizquel, he jumped 10%, Rowland 18%, Billy Wagner 15%. If he goes in, not one of those guys up on that stage will say he doesn't belong in. Because when you watched him play every day, even the guys who covered him in Cleveland, San Francisco for a long time, you go, my goodness, that guy is really great at shortstop.
I did in the mid-90s, and I saw it every day, and he was he was magical.
What a personality. Like, you go in that, you know, the Indians had some tough guys in those years, Bell and Eddie and people,
Tomei.
Edmer and people like that.
Yep.
But he was a ray of sunshine.
He was. He was great to deal with. Manny Ramirez we never saw, but we always used to joke that there was a hidden tunnel underneath the Jacobs Field because nobody ever saw him. But nonetheless, I hope he gets in. Richard, it's always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Richard Justice, MLB.com. We're going to keep with this theme. We're going to talk about some things along these lines on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We just had a special appearance at the radio station. We were graced by the presence of one Craig Partner Ball.
He might be the greatest human on the face of the earth.
I know. And by the way, wearing the Winter Classic toque, looking good.
It does look good.
Looking good. We just got graced during the break.
That was a great effort.
By Craig Partner Ball.
Well, I got
here
tipped
at the radio
off.
Station.
I got tipped off, and I said yes. Bring him up. Know why he's here? It's always good to see Partner.
He brought us goodies.
Yes, he did. He brought you goodies.
Well, but I'm going to share. So well,
it's
us.
Very sweet.
It's us. It is sweet.
Yeah. Cake is generally sweet.
Cake
ice
and ice
cream.
Cake and ice cream is sweet.
You could make a shake.
Oh. I'll be back, guys. Take it from here.
It's quite a large cake.
So it is a large cake. It looks delicious.
First class.
We haven't had a chance to cut into it yet. We will here shortly. So thank you, partner. We love you. And thanks for stopping by the radio station and making our day. Good to see you. And we'll see you on Monday when the Preds host the Maple Leafs.
Toronto.
Toronto's coming to town. Toronto. All right. Richard Justice basically told me to pump the brakes because I can be skeptical at times. Certainly baseball has given me a reason to be skeptical. I don't believe, with all due respect, I love Richard Justice, and I appreciate his professional opinion. He's been doing it a long time, knows a lot of people, and knows the game quite well. I don't believe it's isolated. I don't believe it's one team or maybe a couple teams, maybe even a handful of teams. I'm just not wired like that, especially when it comes to Major League Baseball. Let me ask you guys this. The Minnesota Twins, are they known to be boppers? Are they known to be a team that's always hitting home runs? This year, they were record everything, home run after home run, all over the place. And we've been talking about the baseball. Is it a coincidence that we've all been talking about, oh, the baseball is the reason, and then this massive story comes out that a team or possibly teams are using technology to cheat, to figure out what they're getting pitched, what's coming their way, and yet we're having the Yankees and the Twins and certain teams hitting home runs galore?
To be honest, it's a lot of teams beyond those three.
Like the Yankees, you can say, okay, look up and down their lineup. They have boppers all. Okay, I get that. That's fine. Doesn't mean they're exempt. I'm just saying, okay, I get that a little bit more. But the Minnesota Twins are never viewed as, watch out. Tell you what.
Murderer's Row.
Murderer's Row. Get ready. They're going to hit all kinds of home runs. Things we've never said about the Minnesota Twins. Like, you know, when you go to Target Field, whoo, boy, the balls are going to be a-flying. Things we don't say. So it's just a weird coincidence that the Minnesota Twins have this record-breaking year of home runs. And how convenient. Wow, a story comes out that, the Houston Astros were cheating with technology. Maybe it was the Red Sox. Maybe there were others. And we just think it was just the Astros? Really? You don't think anybody else in baseball knew? By the way, Richard Justice, you just hear him say, other teams were changing. The Dodgers, they knew exactly what they're doing. They're changing things up because they're like, in the privately, they're going, those jerks, I had to clean it up, are cheating.
Right.
We got to change things up every 12 pitches. We know what they're doing. We're on to them. You know the league knows what's going on. It's just like, so it stops there. The buck stops there. I'm not willing to go there.
So, remember the timeline, though. The timeline was 2017 was when the commissioner said, hey, we know that it's going on. It's got to stop. And if anybody gets caught from here on, this was late in the season 2017. If anybody gets caught, there will be big consequences. The Astros got caught. They obviously ignored the thing. So the last 2 years, there's been a record amount of home runs hit.
Record amount.
So I don't think the sign stealing is the reason why. Tons of teams have set home run records the last 2 years, team home run records. So to single out any one team, to me,
so after a huge cheating scandal that's helping batters, you think it's just purely a coincidence that we've had record number of home runs in Major League Baseball the last two seasons following a cheating scandal because it favors the batters?
No, because I think since that edict was put out in 2017, I think you have seen all kinds
of... Just like Richard Justice said, hey, stop taking steroids, and they all go, yeah, we got it, yeah.
Right.
Okay, but I've got stuff that they can't detect. My guy's better than your guy.
But
all right, because that's
different because people have now gone to great lengths. You just heard him give the example of every 12 pitches, they changed the signs. The teams knew this was going on when that edict was put down there in 2017. So the last 2 years, it's delayed the game a lot. You see a lot of pitchers take off their hat. They look, what are we doing? They'll say, are we doing four? Like, there's all these different codes to change the signs. I don't think it's been nearly as widespread the last 2 years. Now, whatever happened up to 2017, I don't know how elaborate it got. The Astros were clearly the ones pushing the envelope and ignoring any of the whatever was going on internally, saying, hey, I know you guys are up to something. We better cut it out right now. The technology is not cool. Don't do this. I think there's a lot of other reasons why the ball was flying out of there. Remember, strikeouts are up too. It's not like the hitters are scoring a record amount of runs. They're hitting a record amount of home runs, but the amount of runs they're scoring, it's just the way they're going about it. They're going all or nothing, right? The strikeouts are at an all-time high too. So the pitchers somewhere in here are getting, you know, minor victories. There's still some ways that the, you know what I'm saying? It's just the way the runs are scored.
Well, I think baseball is also a sport since it began. There's been some form of cheating.
Yeah, you know, Bob Gibson had a really good take on that. He said, as long as there's been baseball, somebody's been trying to do something.
Put stuff on the ball or, you know, you had steroids, obviously. The difference now is I felt like in the steroid era, baseball knew it was happening, but the game was at a point where coming off a player strike, people were watching again. You had the home run race, and it's like, what do we do? And then finally, you know, Canseco writes a book, and it comes out, and they have to address it. This, they tried to get in front of it. Houston got caught, and now the hammer came down, and as it should. And I think there were other teams that were definitely doing it, and now Houston is taking all the bullets. They're falling on the sword, and so these other teams are going to have to decide, okay, do we come up with some sort of other strategy? 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about something else.
That's just something else that somebody has done. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the game. That's baseball.
But here's what I really want to know retroactively, because I think they've got a handle on it now. There's ways to change the signs and make it hard to steal your signs, and that was already happening. And now,
but how do you know they have a handle on it? Based
because
on
you
what?
Change the signs.
But
I know you're looking at the TV monitor, so I'm not going to let you decode my signs. I'm not just going to give one sign. I'm going to change the signs every inning. That's how you do it, because you know the other team is doing that.
You essentially have a playbook.
That's been going on the last couple of years, so I feel pretty good about going forward. What I want to know is how often, because I don't think they had every sign. Like, you would never lose if you knew every pitch everybody was throwing. It must have been certain days they decoded it, certain days they did it. I just want to know more exactly how the Astros were doing it before people started realizing what they were doing.
I hope I'm wrong. I find it impossible to believe that this is purely coincidence. We blamed a baseball, and then the story comes out, wait a minute, they were cheating, and it's just purely coincidence that all these home runs have been happening, and it was all isolated, and it just happened to the Astros, and everybody's figured it out. And the last 2 years, it's just been everybody swinging for the fences. I just find that impossible to believe. I don't believe it's the baseball. I now believe that there's been a lot of hanky-panky, as they would say, going on.
I agree with you. I don't think it was only the Astros. I think a lot of teams had something, right? But they were the ones that pushed the envelope. Mike Fiers was the one that...
But here's the deal. How many discussions did we have, you as a former baseball player and a minor leaguer that didn't make it? And how many times I would say, Willie, if I told you you could take steroids and you would have had a Major League Baseball career...
If you were the good doctor back then, I got something for you.
We would have this discussion on the air. And You're wired differently than a lot of people, okay? So let's just say that on the front end, and you said you feel comfortable in what you did, and you know what you did, and that was, I'm not going to cheat to try to better my career. That's fine. That's admirable. But there's a lot of people that know that Johnny is either taking my spot or Johnny next to me is doing better and gets paid more because Johnny's cheating. So if I want to be like Johnny and make what Johnny or more than Johnny – and I want to be, you know, revered in the sport and all of a sudden get my big payday and get my respect,
then I need to do
what he's doing. And so, therefore, I didn't want to do this. You're forcing me to do it. So now I'm going to do it because, you know what, if I don't do it, somebody else in my spot is going to do it. So it's a ripple effect. And then
that's why I'm so glad that Mike Fiers did what he did when he did it. So it didn't get out of control, because that's exactly what happened.
But clubhouses, they know, and baseball teams know. And you know what? They're going, hell, in Houston, look at them. Look at all the success they're having. Well, they're good, but they're also cheating. So, you know, I mean, if everybody's going to do this, then we might as well too.
Well, and that goes back to what we've said about there's been cheating in baseball since the beginning, because one team does it and then word of mouth and it gets around and everybody figures it out and like, okay, well, we'll do it too.
I just think it's
kind of the curveball was cheating for a while.
It's kind of long lines of the steroids. I just feel like people are like, well, if they're going to do it, then fine. Then we're going to do it too. We got to keep up with the Astros. So we're going to do it too.
You had guys doing steroids that didn't even need to do steroids. I mean, you heard Richard Justice say it about Clemens and Bonds, that they did enough earlier in their careers to get in the Hall of Fame, and then they started allegedly doing steroids. So it's, you had that happen, that there were guys that needed it and guys that didn't need it, but they did it.
And you know what? Maybe the Astros were good enough.
Record amount of runs. There was a record amount of home runs. For example, Josh Hader, he gave up 14 homers this year and 14 singles this past year. So it's just the way that the hitters are approaching it. They're going for the all or nothing. Josh Hader strikes out tons and tons of guys. So they say, I'm going to get my hack. If I don't, I might strike out three times, but the fourth time I might hit a home run.
Well, yeah, but Willie, cheating is not foolproof. When you're on steroids, you didn't hit a home run at every bat. I mean, it's not like,
right,
okay, I'm cheating, so therefore everything
stats
is going to be perfect.
What I'm saying is the approach of the hitters, the approach of the pitchers, is a big reason why there's so many home runs being hit. There were not a record amount of runs being scored. You see what I'm saying? Like, Justin Verlander had a great year. He gave up a ton of home runs, but he still had a lot of success. Right, did he win the Cy Young? If he didn't, he had a great year. He won 21 games, right?
Yep.
So I think the last couple years, I don't think there was as much sign stealing as there was when the commissioner came in and said, guys, this was 2017, we can't have any more of this. And the Astros clearly try to continue on doing what they were doing.
Right.
Baseball has proven that they love to have things fall on deaf ears. So just because the commissioner says, guys.
Thank Mike Fiers then.
Because the commissioner in the past used to go, guys, need you not to be sticking a needle in your butt.
Right, but that was.
Need you not to be doing that. That's no.
I would say it's different now than it was with Selig. Bud Selig, I mean, it's like I've said, his sport was dying after the strike, and then you have people watching and paying attention to a home run race, even though everybody knew what was going on behind the scenes. But it's like, oh, nothing to see here. Oh, please don't do that. And then they get busted because players actually come out and admit it. That's why he was that way. But I don't see Manfred being that way, because in 2017 he said, we know it's happening, stop doing it.
I'm just not prepared to blame it on the ball like we all did. Like we all thought it was
baseball.
That's
fine. I'm with you.
I think that was a big smokescreen. We got dealt a big smokescreen that it was the ball, and it wasn't the ball. That's just me.
Well, there's a lot of reasons besides sign stealing, though, is all I'm saying. There's probably some of that was going on, for sure.
How do you feel about it? You know what? We'll take a batch of calls. Give away a prize. Best caller. We'll do that. I just like to get the feel of how you out there feel. We got a lot of baseball fans in this market. How do you feel today about what we've been discussing? Do you feel cheated? Are you okay with it? Do you feel like it was isolated? Has it changed how you feel about this upcoming season as a baseball fan? I don't know. I'd love to know just how you out there feel about what's been happening in Major League Baseball over this whole scandal. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area right here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've got more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners. They're proud of that. They should be. And we've had a lot of nice weather. I know it's not been great here lately. It's been a little bit on the colder side, but boy, we've enjoyed a lot of warm temperatures in the month of January leading up to that. And maybe you've been out in the yard piddling around or been outside in your yard and you've noticed maybe some bricks are cracking on your home. Or maybe you've also noticed that walls are bowing or doors or windows have been sticking here lately. Drywall separating. Stair step cracks in masonry mortar joints. Maybe the chimney's been tilting or leaning. I've got a whole list of things that could mean that your house is telling you something, that maybe you need to have experts come out and look at it and see if you need to get something fixed. They are the experts at USS, and they believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation. They believe in integrity. And as a homeowner, I would hope that you want to hear that stuff. Plus, they have free estimates. They're locally owned, licensed, and insured. I would think that I have your attention by now. If you've noticed any of these things with your home, get United Structural Systems out there and let you know, like, hey, we need to address this or it's okay. It's nothing to worry about. 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. or you can always go to their website, usstn.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS. Feel about this baseball scandal? There's a lot of baseball fans here in Middle Tennessee area and our listening area. How do you feel today? Has anything changed with you? I'd be curious to know. We'll give you a pair of tickets to see Volbeat with special guests Clutch and the Picture Books at Municipal Auditorium. That'll be April 13th. To the best caller, 615-737-1025. Just kind of get a pulse of the baseball fan out there. By the way, we're not that far off from spring training.
Pitchers and catchers reporting in,
what,
19 days.
Two and a half weeks.
And three teams don't have managers. So.
Yeah, including the Mets.
They need
to hire. Working on it. You know who I think they're going to hire? Just a gut feeling. Eduardo Perez.
Well, he was the wasn't he the runner-up?
He interviewed. I think he'd be good. He's a former guest on our show. We can get him on again.
He used to live in Nashville.
If you're one of these teams, like, I don't understand why Dusty Baker hasn't been hired yet, because in a situation like this, I feel like he's the perfect guy to bring in.
If the Mets announced that he was a manager, I'd be thrilled. I think he'd be a great guy to bring in.
He's come out and said, first come, first serve. So that's kind of – he's like, just call me. I just want a job.
He's ready to get back in.
70 years old.
Let's go to Lee. Lee, how do you feel about it?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just think the story on the Astros may have been underplayed, even though it's terrible. They cheated so badly. I was watching MLB the other night, and they had Jim Tomei and a couple of the batters on there, and they were talking about what a tremendous advantage it is to know what pitch is coming, how it leaves a pitcher's hand, the spin on it, whether it's 80 miles per hour or 95 miles per hour, and that it could mean as much as 50 to 100 difference in your batting average. I mean, Springer and Correa and Bregman and all those guys, Altuve, all hit hundreds of home runs and all hit over 300, knowing what pitch was coming for half of their at-bats that year. So,
but do we know that it's half of the at-bats? I really would like to know how often they knew. See, that's well, because that, then we can start to quantify that.
Half of their at-bats were at home, right?
Yeah, but I think some people would tell you that they had ways of doing it on the road, too. I mean, their road record was equal to their home record.
Yeah, but so, I'm just, you know, my point is what an advantage it is knowing a fastball is coming. They showed film of all those guys laying off of breaking pitches and then bashing fastballs, you know, out of Minute Maid every night.
Totally, totally. It's diabolical. It's awful. It's dead wrong
to
do.
That's my only point.
I just like to know how often they actually knew. Like, they didn't go 162-0.
No,
right?
No.
And they were just as good on the road as at home. So I want to know more.
Yeah. Even if you knew a fastball was coming, you might bash it to the left fielder or to the third baseman on the line drive. I mean, you're right. You don't get a hit every time. But for a large minority of your batting trips, to know a fastball is coming and you can dig in, that's pretty good. That's pretty good to know.
No question.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
It just you surrender all honor when you do that.
Yeah, that's
if you,
my point.
If you
thanks,
do
guys.
It using Thank technology. You, if you use technology. Now, if you're smart enough to know what that guy is saying because he moves his glove one way and that's why you know what's coming, that's a totally different thing. Then I tip my hat. Hey, good job. You figured something out. You studied video. You prepared. And you found out that I do some nervous tick with my foot before I throw a curveball. Then that's totally fine. But if you're just looking at the center field camera and you got the trash can, that's low.
Basically, it's being a poker player. If you can sit there at a table and figure out people's reads, then it's not cheating. You're figuring out, you know, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's just like what you said. Yeah. Right. I mean, if you figured out something, then good for you. It's no different in football. We've talked about this with guys in the trenches, guys on the defensive line or offensive line. They watch guys' fingers or stance, what they're doing. And they pick up on things throughout the course of a game.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's just
whether
sports.
The guy, you know, whether it's a run play or a pass play from just the way an offensive lineman may put his hand in the dirt. I mean, that's
like poker.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like,
you figure out the tell.
That's part of it. But clearly, like you said, if you're doing stuff with technology or what have you, that's going a different way. And to Lee's point, I mean, everybody knows. My goodness, if you know what's coming, there's a huge advantage. It doesn't guarantee.
But wouldn't you guys like to know the or is it just
it
enough to
matter.
Know?
It doesn't
matter to you.
To me, it doesn't matter.
If they did because it, then that's enough.
It's like steroids. I don't need to know how many games, you know, it helped them, how many games it didn't, because as we know, it doesn't matter. Steroids is not foolproof. Cheating is not foolproof. It doesn't make you go undefeated. It doesn't make you go 4-for-4 every night. I mean, Barry Bonds didn't hit 250 home runs in a season.
Right.
Okay? It's not foolproof. It doesn't. But I don't need to know how many games the steroids helped him hit home runs, how many games it didn't work. It doesn't matter.
Well, I think it helped him play longer.
If you're cheating, well, yeah. Well, I mean, Roger Clemens, I mean, there's
right.
no
and
doubt.
That's why those
guys.
That
was the whole story. After he left Boston, everybody's like, yeah.
McGuire battled injuries, so it helped him with that. You know, I think there were different reasons for using it, and, you know, that's a debate that's never going
to
go away.
I just don't need to know when it helped him and when it didn't.
Yeah,
I
don't care.
It doesn't matter.
I know, and I don't necessarily need a list of every guy that ever did it. It's just I know it was there, and some guys did it and some didn't. And, you know, I think if you've watched the game long enough, you know who did and who didn't. And just like with this, you know, one team got caught, but now it's just, all right, I don't need a detailed breakdown, just as long as it's done now.
How about what Lee said, though? Have you guys thought about that? How should we view? I mean, they got guys on that Astros roster that have been raking over the years that have compiled some huge stats, like Bregman, mm-hmm. like Altuve. I mean, do we need to go down the list?
No.
I mean, we all know the list.
Sure.
Springer and those guys, how do we view them now?
Ask me after
this. How should we view
them? Ask me after this season. I want to see it now. I want to see what it looks like now.
Well, I think what you find a lot of times is that, like with Bonds and Clemens, what's frustrating is they didn't need to cheat. They didn't need to. No. They were great players.
Right.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say before.
I think the Astros would have won a lot of games.
But we don't know that. But there's a reason why people cheat. It's like, that's why I always used to bash my head when it's like, well, that's great. That's your opinion that Bonds and Clemens or these guys didn't need to. There's a reason that they did it, though. We don't know for sure.
And we don't know that reason. And we probably never will know that reason.
And you're right. Because I was going to bring that point up. I mean, they were talented enough. I mean, do we know that Houston couldn't have done it without that? No.
And we'll never know.
They could have won it. They could have won it without doing that.
But that is
there's
why
a
I'm curious.
Reason why they did it.
The Dodgers, right? The Bill Plaschke article in the LA Times, you know, makes this argument, and he doesn't really have evidence. It's just his suspicion. And he talks about the three games played in Houston, where we now know that they had this system. So how much did they use in those three games in Houston? If we don't know what they were doing on the road one way or the other, he cited a couple of games. But I don't know that you can draw that conclusion. We just don't know how much they gained an advantage, and we'll never know. But if they gained an advantage, it's wrong.
Well, right? We know that.
And we also don't know if the Dodgers
you can't
had
say
their
that
own
they
thing
didn't.
Going. Do we know?
We know they gained an advantage. I mean,
but did the Dodgers have their system?
Major League Baseball knows. They wouldn't have doled out the penalties that they did. So they know they gained an advantage.
So should
people
they?
People lost jobs and people lost team. That they lost draft picks and they lost money.
So should they vacate the title? That's what I
always
struggle with. Look, like, I'm okay with
I'm,
them not.
It's always,
I'm against vacating titles.
Me too. It's just like,
what's
because
done
it's
done.
Silly.
If you want to put an asterisk next to it, fine.
It doesn't change anything.
Or that's another option, though. Like, do you make that notation?
That's
when you list the World
does
Series
that really change? Does that really change anything?
It just is a mental penalty. It's like
right.
the scarlet letter,
fine.
You know?
Okay, then do that. If that makes...
I don't know.
And I'm not picking on you, Willie. I'm just, if that makes certain people feel better... then fine. But taking the title away, like I think in college sports, vacating titles
the
and
Louisville
taking wins
champ,
away,
it's stupid.
It's stupid and it's pointless because everybody on that team goes, you know what, we won and we
that,
know we did.
That year happened. Okay?
Reggie Bush won the Heisman in 2005.
USC won. So
yeah.
If you're not going to name the interim, that's not the right word. If you're not going to name the replacement champion.
Which I don't want to be that.
I know. That's another thing. Do you want replacement champion? No.
Like, who did the Astros beat? The Dodgers, right? Yeah.
Well, so, why do you think Lasky's right?
So you can't do it. I mean, you can't.
Do the Dodgers? Do the Dodgers really want to be named the World Series champion?
I don't think
so.
You can,
we don't want replacement.
Who's
champion?
To say that you couldn't say, well, what about the division series?
Right.
What about the LCS?
Yeah,
I mean, you just can't.
You know,
where does it stop?
Yeah.
Right.
You couldn't do it.
So it's just silly.
You attended that Final Four in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome.
I did.
You watched Louisville cut down the nets and win the national championship.
Yeah, it's a great
game.
Okay,
so there's not a replacement champion. That season happened. They played basketball that year. Like, everybody in Division I basketball played in the NCAA. So you don't have a champion, so what does that mean? It didn't happen? No, it did. It's the silliest thing going
on
in sports.
But just the notation,
it means nothing.
Though. The notation, I do think... When you force everybody to stop and say, well, they won it, but I do think that means something.
If you want to put an asterisk, that's fine.
Okay. You're okay with that. We can meet
up.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
But the vacating the crown, no.
It's
okay.
Dumb. That's just dumb.
I'm okay.
Taking down banners right is dumb.
I'm not okay. I wouldn't vacate either. I think they did the right thing here. But the asterisk thing, I might look at.
And that's fine. That's what they want to do.
What do you mean?
You're trying to put an asterisk in the
oh, that's
on
fine.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Because I want.
Do you want them stripped?
No.
You don't want them stripped.
I don't want them stripped. I want the next time somebody thinks about doing that to say, oh, man, I don't think we should do that. Because remember what I want everything I can possibly do to say, this can't happen again. We got to weed this out. Somebody else is going to try something else. We know that. But we got to stop this right here. And I still think Mike Fiers should be saluted.
Do you feel confident that they get it? Because I'm totally with Richard Justice. I have felt this way since I watched the video of Bregman over the weekend, and I'm like, dude, what are you smirking at? He didn't answer anything.
Right.
I mean, he answered nothing. Wouldn't address anything. I don't even know why he talked. If I was him, I would just decline if that's what you're going to do. But why do you have a smirk on your face? So do you think they really get it? I mean, do they look remorseful to you? Do they act remorseful to you?
Because they know what's done is done.
But they got crushed for how they handled themselves at that thing last weekend.
They should.
Yeah.
They should.
Ray, what's going on?
How you guys doing? Appreciate it.
Sure.
Just a question. You know, if we're going to not put guys in for steroids is a form of cheating, then I think they should be stripped of the title. Like when Braun won the MVP, Matt Kemp was second. That's his title. He didn't cheat. He should have been MVP. So if you're going to be penalized for cheating one way, they're not penalizing them for another way. Anyone with sense could look at that Altuve video and say, he's telling them, don't rip my jersey off. I have a mic on. That's what I see, and I believe that's what a high percentage of people see. So I appreciate the call. I'll listen.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Look, there's no doubt there's a lot of people that read his lips and have come to that conclusion. By the way, I was stumbling because it looks like your boys have found their manager, and it's not who we were just talking about.
They made a decision, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well?
Initials L-R.
L-R?
Uh-huh.
La Russa?
Yes. Yes.
La Russa.
La Russa.
First name La?
La Russa.
No first name, just La Russa.
La Russa.
Luis Rojas.
Yes.
I don't know much about him.
Luis Rojas. Okay.
There you go.
I'll have to do my homework on him.
I'm using the Google machine.
It's never good when everybody has to Google your new manager.
Huh.
But we'll Google him during the break. We'll learn about...
He is the quality control coach for the New York Mets.
Yeah.
So they promoted from within, huh?
Uh-huh. Good luck.
Learn.
Have you ever heard of some of these others? Did you ever heard of Brian Snitker? They promoted him from within. He's
I'd heard of him.
Okay, so, but from the outside world, if you promote from within, that's not doesn't mean you don't win.
I just said good luck. That's all.
Yeah, that was kind of a good luck with that guy.
Is his initials SR? I mean SK Snitker.
Yes, that is correct.
We'll come back with Tim Hasselbeck to kick off the third hour. That's next. Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.